Today on the 21st show, does it seem like your phone's battery life is getting worse over time? Or maybe you have another gadget that's broken, but it seems easier to replace it than to fix it. Some people say that's by design, and they're part of a movement that would guarantee our right to repair. Then, other states, like Texas, have enacted laws targeting young trans people and their parents who seek what's called gender-affirming care. We'll hear from an Illinois expert in the field and a Texas reporter about what goes into gender-affirming care and whether what's happening elsewhere in America might affect us here in Illinois. I'm Brian Mackey. That's all coming up today on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media, airing on WILL in Urbana, WUIS in Springfield, WGLT in Normal, WCBU in Peoria, WNIJ in DeKalb, and WVIK in the Quad Cities. But first, the news. From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When something of yours breaks, what's your first instinct? Fix it or replace it? From computers to smartphones and vacuums to microwaves, we increasingly live in a culture of throwing things away rather than trying to have them fixed, or even trying to fix them ourselves. Some of the problem is in ourselves, how we approach our objects. But some of the companies that sell us our stuff also work to make them hard to fix. Remember when you could pop the battery off the back of your cell phone and replace it with a new one? Good luck doing that with an iPhone. This is what the Right to Repair movement aims to redress, making it so tinker-curious individuals and stores can fix our stuff, rather than us having to throw it away and start over. Legislation to that effect has been introduced in Illinois and other states multiple times in recent years, but the movement has opponents, including companies like Apple and John Deere, headquartered right here in Illinois. The news company Bloomberg did a nice job laying out the issues farmers have with Right to Repair, John Deere, and other big ag manufacturers in a video documentary released in January.
We can get a lot more done in a day. We can work longer hours, especially with auto-steer, auto-guidance systems. We can get a lot more hours in. We're not tired at the end of the day. So the efficiency factor is great when it works. And unfortunately, like all electronics, it doesn't always work.
And that's where there's a catch. While the technology in a John Deere tractor or combine makes farming easier than ever before, there are very real concerns from some farmers when it comes to repairing that equipment, because as of right now, they can't. John Deere and other agricultural machinery companies won't let farmers fix their own equipment without a licensed mechanic. For Deere and its dealerships, parts and services are 3 to 6 times more profitable than sales of original equipment, according to company filings.
We talked about this on the program back in March. We spoke with Dale Doherty, the founder of Make Magazine, creator of Maker Faire, and the president of the Make community. Right to Repair was the main subject of Make's latest issue back at the time. Also with us was Terry Ballantini, Chief Operating Officer of Normal Gadgets in Normal, Illinois. It's a repair shop that services everything from smartphones to video game systems. Listeners, we're on tape today, so we're not taking your calls live, but we still love hearing what you thought. Leave us a voicemail anytime, day or night, at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. You can also write to us, send an email to talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. One last warning, I did have a cold when we did this show, and my voice was several steps below normal, but it was indeed me. Thanks for rolling with it. All right, let's listen back to this conversation on Right to Repair.
So, Dale, I'm going to start with you. Let's just start with the basics. Who is the idea of a Right to Repair meant to benefit?
Well, I think, you know, in one way, everybody. You know, there are people that like to fix things and feel badly when things go, you know, into the waste bin and ultimately into the landfill. So sometimes it's just a small piece that needs to be fixed or replaced. And I call them repair enthusiasts, makers, that people that like figuring out what's wrong and try to fix it. But when you have manufacturers that assume the thing that you bought is still under their control, and they want you locked out from it. We used to have a phrase that we still do, but at Make Magazine, one of our early issues is if you can't open it, you don't own it. And the licenses around especially digital equipment and the devices we own sometimes restricts what you can do. And we don't think that's a good thing to be throwing things away that easily.
Terry, from your perspective, what is right to repair in terms of the legislation? What is it meant to do?
Well, how I see it is that it is our right to repair things. You know, you can change your oil in your car. You can do other things. You can fix your house, build a house. But, you know, if you own a smartphone or a laptop or a gaming system, you know, why can't you get that repaired? So it is it's our fundamental right to repair things that we own to save us on so many things, on save us on cost, save us on, you know, replacing. You know, he just mentioned, you know, the toxic e-waste that goes out there. This movement is more than just that. And we just have to be more conscious of what we do versus going out and buying brand new every single time something doesn't want to charge up.
Dale, in some ways, we're in the best of times for the DIY, fix-it-yourself type individual, right? You talk about this in the magazine. You can find endless tutorials on just about anything online, right?
Yeah. If someone's on wants to figure out, can it be fixed? I mean, pretty much a Google search will turn up other people that have had that problem. And it's not only that they have the problem, they've documented their solution for it. So there's sites like iFixit. But, you know, some people just put it up in numerous places that they're willing to share how they solved it. So the irony is that the best source for information on fixing something doesn't come from the manufacturer. It comes from the users. And they're almost, you know, form this informal community of people that are sharing advice on how to repair something. And, you know, you don't have to be an expert to do it, which I think is a big thing. I welcome those who do it professionally, but I also want to, you know, recognize that there are a lot of people that just like to fix things themselves. There always have been. And, you know, if we get some of this right to repair legislation, there always will be.
You know, and yet, many of us seem to have lost that reflex to try and fix something ourselves or even to get it fixed. Let's listen to a voicemail we got from a listener on this.
Hi, I'm Ann from Urbana. I feel like you hit the nail on the head. My phone loses power more and more rapidly. I have wondered if it might be by design. Our dryer gave out last week and we started looking for a new one. Then it dawned on us we should probably first see if it could be repaired, and it was able to be repaired. It is amazing to me that this wasn't our first thought. I think legislation to promote repairing instead of replacing would be a good ecological thing. Wouldn't it be nice to see repair shops once again?
Okay, I like what she said there. It's amazing to her that it wasn't her first thought. And in true confession time, this weekend my wife and I were shopping for a new vacuum, and that's because the last one we had broke, and we threw it away. And while we're in this local vacuum shop trying to decide which model to spend hundreds of dollars on, at least two different people come in to drop off their vacuums for repair. And I got to say, it did not occur to me until that moment that we should have tried getting it fixed first. Dale, what is going on with Ann and me?
Well, I think the convenience of just replacing something drives a lot of decisions here. A right to repair law won't necessarily correct, you know, people's first impulse to just throw it away. We need other efforts to do that. But I think, you know, we need to change people's mindset so that they look into extending the life of things. And even if they can't fix that thing or can't find someone to fix that thing, that they can direct it to places that might even reuse some of the components in other ways. We kind of grind and shred those devices so that they're just, completely useless when we throw them away. And so I think, you know, that's part of what I'd say is consumer culture is just the solution to everything is to buy something. Well, you know, coming from the make side, we think, you know, that really isn't all of who we are. We like to make things. We like to create things. We like to solve problems ourselves. We like to, in some cases, look at the ways we can learn to do something like repair.
Terry, what about you? Do you find yourself having to sell people on the idea of repairing devices in this day and age?
It's not a matter of trying to sell them and the ability of what we do. It's about the acknowledgement of what we do and who we are. I mean, when you take a look at it, there's well over 9,000 independent repair stores like us in the United States versus 272 Apple stores. And so once you know that, you know, a store like ours exists, or like Dell said, that you can get this fixed on your own by Googling or doing an iFixit video, it's that which is more important. It's the knowledge of people like us are out there and are available. When you walk into a Best Buy or an Apple store or Verizon, you know, a lot of times they don't know, you know, that people like us exist, or they don't want to acknowledge that we do. And some of them do. We get referrals from, you know, the local repair, the local Verizon stores and AT&T stores all the time. But I think it's that education that will help, right, you know, get this movement better.
And but part of the issue is we have gone through, I guess, a design phase, you might say, where manufacturers are designing things so that you can't replace the battery, as the woman mentioned, without replacing the phone, or to replace the battery would pretty much potentially damage the phone. You know, we covered one of the things in the magazine, someone who's designing a laptop where every part in the laptop can be replaced. It has a QR code on it that you can scan and find out it's a replacement. So why don't more things come that way? I, you know, some of it's probably economics, but, you know, these manufacturers have tried to control everything, as you use in the John Deere example. They not only control you selling you the product, they want to control the parts and aftermarket for that product as well.
I've always said that. I mean, if you take a look at the Apple ecosystem, you know, they want to, you know, they want to have you by birth to death, you know, on that device. They want to build the device, they want to sell you the device, and they want you to run to them sometimes, you know, 2 or 3 hours away to get a simple battery replaced. And it just, it's not right.
Right. Yeah. And I got to say, I learned myself that I managed to extend the life of my current Apple smartphone by at least a year or two by getting the battery replaced.
Right.
Which is not even something I realized I could have done. I was definitely too intimidated to try it myself. Just to play devil's advocate, isn't there? I mean, Apple will say probably there's some benefits, right? The waterproofing is better by making it a more sealed device that's harder to open. What do you say to that?
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, imagine that the only thing you could buy was a new car, that used cars didn't exist, right? I mean, the newer models have features that the older models don't. But some people, you know, either choose to or they can't afford a new car, so they choose a used car. So, you know, and that extends the life of that car. There's aftermarkets around automobiles for third parties to make replacement parts. It's not a matter about having new features necessarily. I worry that, you know, people don't have some of these devices that could actually own them if they were, you know, used and repaired.
We're speaking with Dale Doherty, founder of Make Magazine, and Terry Ballantini, COO of the repair shop Normal Gadgets in Normal, Illinois. We got a text message. Someone in Central Illinois, you said, we live in a throwaway world. We don't like to fix anything. We just buy new. We don't teach our children how to repair anything, so they don't know. When it comes to things that we've bought, we should have the right to do anything with the product you want to. Another listener, Kathy, wrote in to say, I'm old enough to remember when everything was fixable. TVs, radios, cameras, shoes, appliances of all kinds. There were repair shops everywhere, and for larger items, home service. Now we need special services to dispose of all the unserviceable items that can't go to the landfill. Dale, we've been talking about Apple somewhat, and they're frequently listed among opponents to right to repair legislation. And I don't think that has changed, but they did reverse course last year, creating and announced they would gradually begin to create repair guides and sell parts directly to consumers. Nathan Proctor, who's with the Right to Repair campaign director for the PIRG, Public Interest Research Group, called this a huge milestone. What do you think of Apple's announcement?
Well, you know, we had Nathan on recently after we published the article. I mean, we're all excited by that. It's a step in a direction if they follow through with it. And we haven't seen that follow through yet. They had some kind of stockholder measure that required them to make this announcement, apparently. And now they have to make good on it, and we're waiting to see that. But, you know, one of the things that Nathan writes about is they might make their devices more repairable, but they'll really limit who can repair them, and they'll restrict the sources of parts for those repairs. So one of the things we, you know, it might not be apparent to some folks, there are ways now to, because you're using microchips and everything, you know, that to create a part that could only be used in that particular equipment that it came with. So that really means that, like, the manufacturer's signature is on that part, and you can't get another part that doesn't have that digital signature on it. And I think that's, you know, just another step where they can make it really frustrating for people.
I'm thinking of the movie.
The other thing I mentioned just briefly is a lot of manufacturers have fought Right to Repair on the basis of that people will hurt themselves, that people don't know what they're doing. And it's almost, you know, again, I think one of the faults of consumer culture is it tends to disable us. And that's a perfect example of saying you can't do these things, you shouldn't do these things. And yet people actually feel like they ought to be able to do these things.
Right, right. All right, we need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back on Right to Repair. You're listening to The 21st Show. Do please stay with us.
This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to a March conversation on Right to Repair, the idea that we should be able to fix our own technology and the legislation that aims to help us do just that. We talked about this with Dale Doherty, the founder of Make Magazine, and Terry Bellantini, COO of the repair shop Normal Gadgets in Normal, Illinois. While we're on tape for our program today, we do always welcome your thoughts. Email us. talk@21stshow.org is the address. That's talk@21stshow.org. Or leave us a voicemail anytime, day or night, 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. All right, let's listen to the rest of our talk about Right to Repair.
Terry, can you talk about, I was struck when Dale was talking about the you know, devices and chips maybe being restricted to a singular device. And I was reminded of, you know, it's fiction, but the movie E.T., right, where he takes a speak and spell and I think a phonograph and an umbrella and kind of repurposes it all into some kind of communication device. How has the repairability of objects changed in the years that Normal Gadgets has been in business? Laptops, smartphones, those sorts of things.
Definitely. Over the last probably 4 to 5 years, folks... More than anything, Apple has made it harder for us to do repairs by tying in what they call security measures within their phones and then their laptops as well. You know, the Touch ID and the Face ID, they've mirrored those to the boards, and you can't replace those parts without them malfunctioning. Only Apple can do that. And when you talk about Apple wanting to give access and parts to the consumer, we are a family of 9,000 strong repair centers, you know, that have been doing this for many, many years, and we do thousands of repairs. They don't give us that code. And so it's going to be hard for me to understand and visualize how they're going to give that code to, you know, a person in Springfield that's never done repairs before. So I don't think they're going to still give that access to those codes, and they'll still have restrictions on the repairs. But Apple's the one primarily in our industry that's bogging us down. When you take a look at other phones like smartphones from Samsung or LG or Motorola, those are easy to get. You can get those parts, any of the parts that we need. You can get them without any restrictions whatsoever. So some makers understand this while others are fighting us against it.
Dan is on line 4 from Tennessee. Dan, thank you for calling in.
Morning. Yeah, I wanted to agree with you all on this. I've done throughout my whole life a lot of my own maintenance, repairs, and things like that. And a lot of this stuff, it doesn't matter what it is. A lot of this stuff, even for an individual, the licensing to do something, even just to get such as a service manual, is so expensive, it's not worth it for a one-time person. Like, say, a homeowner, a vehicle owner, that. And you have to take it to a shop. And sometimes some stuff can be simple. Some parts you can only get through an authorized dealer, and they will not sell the parts because they want to install them. Also, the stuff is put together with specialty fasteners, maybe used by that particular manufacturer. Again, the tool you have to get through them, and they won't sell you the tool. You wind up having to make your own tools and work on things that way. And it just gets more difficult. And the thing is, for the do-it-yourselfer, if you do screw it up, you're going to wind up taking it to them and have them fix it. They're going to have more costly repair anyway, so they're going to get the money out of you sooner or later.
Right.
If you tear it up too bad, you got to buy a new one from them. So, but a lot of that simple stuff, you go ahead and do yourself. And like one of the gentlemen said, sometimes the place is hours away to get it repaired. So,
yeah.
And you could have just took 5 minutes and done it yourself. But so it is difficult. It'd be nice if they ease that up. I understand they won't stay in business, but come on, some of us won't try to fix our own stuff. We don't always have time to go get it fixed. So
yeah, that's
all I had. I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Yeah, I remember the first time I had to try and find a three-pointed Phillips head screwdriver to try and replace the battery on one of my laptops. Mm-hmm. Who is nodding or saying yeah there if you want to respond to the caller?
Yeah, it's me. I mean, you know, there's specific screwdrivers that you have to get for specific repairs, and they don't make it easy. I mean, you can easily find them on Amazon or eBay, but they do want to make it difficult for everybody to do this. You know, the one thing that we haven't really talked about, the industry that's also affected besides, you know, smartphones and computers and farmers, is hospitals. The hospitals are on our side as well. They can't do the repairs. And especially when you take a look at what happened with COVID, you know, they had parts breaking down that they could have made simple repairs, not being allowed to do so based on their contracts and a higher price to do it. Just, you know, it's not right.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. That this is not just a consumer issue. It can also be a business issue, or where you can't repair things that could be easily repaired. They're either proprietary in one fashion or another. You know, often one of the issues that's coming up a lot is things are done in software today, and you might have a particularly good hardware device, but the software expires in it, or is aged out, or something, and it stops working for that purpose. So that's another thing. There was an example we gave in the magazine of Grace Digital Radio, which one of the features it had was that you could program any station in it. But for some reason they no longer kept that service up, and it wasn't so you could no longer use it the way you originally used it, just because that software license expired.
I have a digital radio like that, actually. I don't think it's that company. I want to say it was Logitech, but it basically barely works anymore.
Right.
Well, Brian, you also look at what, you know, like the FTC. I mean, they endorse repair rights. So the FTC understands this. The Biden administration is doing a push for this as well. You know, we just need the states to come on board.
So, Dale, what is your pitch, right? In your opening column for the latest issue of Make, you say, makers are not like every other consumer. We find real satisfaction in learning how to fix things and restore their value. What's your pitch for someone who maybe doesn't think this is for them to, you know, pick up that screwdriver and try to fix something on their own?
Yeah, well, first of all, realize you're not alone. You know, you can find other people to help you all kinds of ways, through the internet, even locally. there's a repair community of sorts out there that is really pretty willing to help you. We use the example of fixit.com, and they have, another example in Boulder, Colorado, there's a Boulder You Fix It community group at the library. And so, you know, just start thinking about what it is. Everything you buy has to be maintained and fixed. So when you buy something, think about what its life cycle is. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to buy something that you can repair more easily versus something that won't, you probably will save money in the long run and be a more satisfied customer.
All right, let's see if we can get in one more phone call. George is on line 2 from Champaign. George, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the program. Hey, I just wanted to say that I think this issue is a lot larger than just repairs. I think this is an economic model that's shifting in which they don't want you to own it. It's not just equipment. It's also software. You can't even buy the software anymore. You have to license it, and you have to pay all the time. But this goes even further. I mean, a perfect example is Obamacare, you know, with mandated payment to insurance companies. What corporations really want is they want their hand in your pocket always, and a guarantee for that. And that's what this is really driving. This is if they control whatever device you have or that you have, and you can only go through them, then you will always be tied to that company, and they will always draw some money from you.
Yeah.
And again, it extends beyond equipment and farm equipment and software, et cetera. Obamacare is a perfect example of that. The individual mandate, you know, is the mandate that the consumer must pay an individual corporation, individual company, something, even a small amount. And the masses, you know, it's like a lot of these apps that they sell for 99 cents. Or, you know, it's the same thing with a corporation.
And, right. And all right. Thank you for that.
With maintenance.
Thank you for the call, George. We appreciate it. And, I mean, this matches a text message we got who said it's the goal of these companies to make it so you own nothing and you rent everything. Dale, any closing thoughts on that?
Well, I hope people recognize what's going on. You know, that we as I said, we often don't own the devices we think we do. And the complexity, you know, serves the purpose of the manufacturer in a way to make it harder for us to do these things such as repair. But, you know, I want to end on a positive note that I think it's, you know, I think it's something that people want to do, even if they're not able to do it themselves. And we kind of, I think that's a sign, an optimistic sign for the future.
Terry, final thoughts from you.
We are masters of our own destiny, you know, and it's our right to be able to do the things that we think is fair and proper. It's an economic divide that this issue is between going out and having to buy a brand new phone or a brand new laptop or a brand new tractor. And it holds a lot of individuals down. And we have to be able to stand up to the folks that are still trying to push us around.
Terry Ballantini, Dale Doherty, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.